The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw out some and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day today, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I presided at a wedding at a beautiful outdoor venue once in the hills of Virginia at a local vineyard. The mountains and beautiful white mansion were the backdrop for this outdoor wedding, a place which hosted many weddings. The bride and groom were overjoyed with their special day, where they would make a lifetime commitment in front of family and friends, with the help of God, to love, honor, cherish each other, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do they part. The gospel reading was the wedding at Cana, where Jesus had turned water into wine, saving the best wine for last, offering grace upon grace, enough for the whole town. After the marriage ceremony, I received more comments from guests of various denominational backgrounds regarding the message of grace and how it inspired them to renew their commitment to their spouse. Then I heard from the bride and groom, who were overwhelmed with joy of the life-changing event. It is amazing how the Holy Spirit works faith through word and sacrament. Recalling my own wedding day as I wrote this, I don't recall anything from that wedding message either. I do remember as inviting Christ to be central to our marriage and receiving Holy Communion with Mike. We had received premarital counseling with our local chaplain where we had met at Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. And we were married by an Episcopal chaplain at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, a place where I grew up early in my life. We had opted to not open Holy Communion to our guests for fear of offending wedding guests who might be Catholic or non-believers. It was important to me to have Holy Communion because, having been confirmed with Lutheran theological training, the Holy Spirit had filled me to believe in the real presence of Christ in Holy Communion. To trust that Christ was in, with, and under the bread and the wine, which was offered up for us as his body and blood on the cross for the forgiveness of sin. Being the bride and overjoyed with the celebrations of the day, and not having had continuous Christian education on Holy Communion since confirmation, I was unaware of the abundance of grace provided by Christ to all people in Holy Communion. That Holy Communion is a sacrament or means of grace is something that I learned in seminary. That it is something that is not earned, but given freely for the forgiveness of sin, is something I learned in seminary. That there is grace upon grace to be received on account of Christ crucified and risen and shared with others is something that this gospel reading alludes to. Today's good news story in the Gospel of John tells us Jesus turned water into wine, enough for the whole town to consume. Knowing what I know now, if I had to do it over again, I would not worry about offending people, but with joy open the table to all people to receive Holy Communion, as Christ does in today's wedding story in Cana. The story in John is filled with symbolism and signs that, according to John 20, verse 31, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Today's story takes place in Cana in Galilee, a region known for its rebels, its thieves, and Gentiles. In other words, outsiders. The wedding may have been a familial wedding since Jesus, his mother, and his disciples were invited and attended it. The Jewish custom, according to the law, was to be hospitable, and the honor and shame system in that culture possibly motivated Jesus' mother, Mary, to notice that they had run out of wine, the common drink of the day. She, through the power of the Holy Spirit, believed the angel Gabriel and Elizabeth's prophecy of Jesus' role to be the Savior of all people, whose kingdom will have no end. So she did what she thought would save the bride and groom from cultural shame and embarrassment because of running out of wine. And she asked Jesus to do something about it. Jesus responded to her not like a son would respond to his mother in those days, but with affection, addressing her as woman as he addressed Mary Magdalene and the Samaritan woman with the same word, yet spoken with affection. And he pushed back, saying that his hour to reveal God's glory had not yet come. By pointing to his hour, Jesus was foreshadowing his death and resurrection from the cross for the sake of reconciling the world back to God. And yet Mary, a mother and faithful believer in Jesus, her son, pushed her son to live into his calling to reveal the glory of God and save this wedding couple from shame and embarrassment. She told the servants, the ones who would be the ones to notice God's miracle, to do whatever he tells you to do, and they did. Jesus asked that 6 large stones were used for Jewish purification rites be filled with water. Some scholars point out the symbolism of Jesus using the Jewish purification jars for water turned into wine. They suggest that Jesus is making a new covenant with God's people, that his body and blood sacrificed for the sake of the salvation of all people replaces the purity laws that gave or prevented people from having access to God. The amount of wine Jesus made from water was more than what was needed at the wedding party. Each stone held about 20 to 30 gallons, enough for the whole town to consume, and more. The miracle at Cana, Jesus' first miracle in the Gospel of John that was to be revealed to his servants, to those servants, the lowly of society. That first miracle was an abundance of wine. Enough for everyone. symbolic of what will happen at the heavenly banquet when Jesus comes again at the end of time to draw all people to him. In the Star Trek episode, The Omega Glory, which aired in 1968, Captain Kirk and his crew discover that they are on a parallel Earth following a Third World War, won by the communists, or the Combs, and that the Yankees, or the Yangs, have hidden away as a sacred text the U.S. Constitution. As the episode winds down, Captain Kirk concludes, "These words and the words that follow were not written only for the Yangs, but for the Combs as well." Immediately questioned for including the Combs, the Yangs' mortal enemies, in the promises of their sacred texts, Captain Kirk exclaims, "These words must apply to everyone, or they mean nothing. Do you understand?" This is no less true for God's people. Glory is not glory unless it is for everyone. Glory, God's glory, is shared. What is noticeable about this text, like the bride and groom whose marriage I presided at in the wine country hills of Virginia, in my own wedding, the bride and groom are oblivious to the miracle of Jesus turning water into wine to cover them from shame. Yet the servants, those least in society, are given privy to see God's ability to cover our shame by his grace. Not just a little grace, but an abundance of grace to be shared with others. His followers came to believe in Jesus. When his glory was revealed in this first of signs, the gospel writer of John writes about. It is symbolic of the grace upon grace that Jesus offers us, covering our guilt and shame of having failed God and our neighbor in some way. When we come to the table of Holy Communion, Christ's table, as beggars, with our hands open to receive freely the bread and the wine in Holy Communion, or the juice, Christ's body and blood, crucified and risen from the dead, in, with, and under the bread and the wine, by the mystery of our faith, given to us to redeem, sustain, and renew us for mission to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. As we go about our day today, let us reflect how God is calling us to see his glory through the grace we have received in Jesus Christ in Holy Communion, grace upon grace, and having been redeemed, restored, and renewed by God's grace, how we are being called to share that grace with others. Amen.